I asked to be able to do the scripture reading today because it's fun and important. So I'd like to invite you to pray with me the prayer for illumination, and then we will have an opportunity to hear our scripture for today. Would you pray with me? God of all power, open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts with a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Help us to hear your voice, to see your ways, and to receive with joy your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is a reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind. Come on. Like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered, and they were mystified because everyone of them heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them. How then can each of them hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, as well as the residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all the regions of Libya bordering the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some ask each other, "What does this mean?" And others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Love that dove. That's so awesome. Early in my career and in my relationship with Gina, we were asked to go and be part of a United Methodist Volunteers and Mission team in Brazil. And that was a very just an important moment in our lives. The first time that we went to do that, we could not travel with our team. We had something else that we needed to stay for a couple of days, and then so we traveled and we flew in independently. And Gina and I have traveled internationally before, but oftentimes with a group or, you know, in places where English is the common language. Now we flew into Sao Paulo, Brazil, all at that time, at least it might not be the same now. At that time, all international flights flew into Sao Paulo and then, you know, hopped to the other destinations inside the country. So we got to the Sao Paulo airport, which is a fairly large, complex place like airports are, and, found ourselves to be in trouble. Because as much as we had prepared, we had kind of learned enough Brazilian Portuguese. They speak Portuguese in Brazil. As much as we had learned, you know, the functional words and phrases, you know, those things they teach it, you know, so that you don't get arrested, you know, or say something stupid. As much as we had learned that, we didn't, we neglected to learn numbers. Always learn numbers. Because when we got there, of course, like any good airport, they changed their gate, right? So we get there, and we, you know, are like, okay, there's not a lot of English speakers. That's okay, you know, it's there, you know, that's okay, but we were at a loss. And so we had lunch, and then we went to what we thought was going to be the gate that we what had been assigned that we could read, you know. And of course, it was not the right gate. It was a changed gate, and time had passed pretty quickly, and our boarding was pretty imminent, and we were panicked. We had to kind of figure out how to find the other gate and get there in time to do that. And so one of the most important phrases, as I was making my way around to gate agents and all those folks, and it's still the one that sticks with me the most, I have to kind of rethink through all my Portuguese, the most important phrase was, un pouco português, which is, I speak very little Portuguese. And then I would give them my very best, you know, sad face, lost American look. Please help me, you know. So we went through several steps. It was difficult. Went through several steps, and finally we found a person who, un poco inglés, you know, she was working with us, and we had an opportunity to, she said, come with me. And so she took us to a completely different place on a bottom floor that we had no idea was present there, down some steps into a bottom floor, and there was this few kind of people sitting there with us, all with this kind of bewildered look. That must have been the bewildered foreigner gate. And so finally a very unhappy, grumpy man came into the room and said, you know, didn't say, come with me. It was just like, and so we all went outside, and there was a bus. That was not a plane. It was a bus. I'm like, that doesn't look like the plane to where we need to be. And it wasn't like the, you know, the moving room kind of things at, you know, at Dulles. It was a bus that had seen better days. So we all, you know, we're like, are we being abducted? Is this bad? You know, and I'm like trying to ask, and we're trying to figure things out. But there are other folks on there that were like, okay, we're on the bus. And so we drive around the airport to the, you know, from that gate all the way around to the other airport, and there was the plane waiting for us. And we got on the plane. There's a real power in being able to function inside of a language. You know, one of the things I'm so very happy about my connection with you as a church is the work that happens here on Thursday nights with NET. Because there is a great gift given by volunteers. Y'all don't make any money doing this. You should make millions of dollars for doing this. But a great gift is being given to people so that they can function inside of a space that we kind of take for granted. So thankful for that. I've joked for many years that my, you know, English is my second language, that my first language was hillbilly. I've joked that way. My mother hated that joke, because we spoke proper English in my home, and she would correct accents, you know. So there is a lot to say about being able to function inside of the language. Now, in the Old Testament, there is a really kind of amazing story. It's in Genesis. It is about people becoming so full of themselves that they decided, we're going to get closer to God, and they start building a tower. Do you remember this story? And what happens? They build and they build, and the Lord looks at that and says, this is an act of ego and self-aggrandizement, and I don't want this to happen. So as the story goes, their languages are mixed up, you know, that suddenly there is this diversity of languages that causes the whole project to shut down, right? And, you know, we can be speaking English sometimes to each other, but our understanding of each other's English or each other's intent can get so convoluted that the whole project can, you know, kind of shut down, or it becomes a mess. Now, whether or not you agree with that literally or not, there's certainly a lot of wisdom there, a lot of wisdom in that story about hubris. I'm going to be as good as or better than God. And that story had to be still part of people's understanding at the time of Pentecost. This is why we have all these different languages and all this diversity and all these different cultures, is because we needed to be put in their place. When Pentecost happens, and Pentecost was a routine festival that was part of the agricultural and life cycle of the community. When Pentecost occurred and this happens, the most amazing thing happens around this whole issue of language. Now, when we talk about the Spirit causing language, people to speak in other tongues, sometimes that is interpreted or experienced as those other tongues being something that's not human or culturally related. It's the tongues of angels. You know, Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of angels. That doesn't happen here. This is not a mystical, supernatural event that leads to mystery about message. But really, the message is people from one place being able to speak to people from another place in such a way that they can hear it. Don't miss that. That there's all this that with the red and the flames and the, you know, all that, that's so awesome, so good. Don't miss the impact of it. Don't miss the punchline, which is these people that were gathered in this city for this festival from all over the place that were accustomed to kind of struggling with each other across language and culture were able to hear from this group of faithful men and women, this group of folks from Galilee, and not much good comes from Galilee or Big Stone Gap or wherever, you know, that's where I'm from. They're speaking in ways that can be heard across culture, across languages. Perhaps you have had that experience that you sit down with someone that you might think is very different, or maybe from another culture, or maybe from just a different part of the, you know, part of the United States. Different accents, different inflections, different words for things. Some people call soda, soda, right? And some of us call it, right? Dr. Pepper or Pepsi Cola, or, you know. When I grew up, one of the things that snuck into our language was the idea of a poke, which is not, this is not a poke. Although you felt it as a poke, didn't you? I'm sorry about that. A poke was a small bag. My father, after church, would take my brother and I to a small little store that was in the community, and he would let us get candy. This was not a good thing. But he would say, okay, go ahead and get a poke. And we would fill it as much as we could with gobstoppers and milk duds and just like all the diabetes of the future that you could anticipate. But then you speak about that outside of the, you know, the mountains of Appalachia, a poke is like, you know. When you go to the Target, and you get that red thing that you push around to put your, you know, your peanuts in or whatever, what is that called? Okay, there's carts and there's buggies. And there's a couple other versions of that too, right? Isn't it neat to actually find someone who uses the same language as you? Isn't it powerful to find someone that is speaking your language? Speaking the language that your heart needs to hear. Or speaking the language that your brokenness needs to hear to be identified and seen and recognized, right? Isn't it powerful? It's amazing to think that God so loved the world in this particular way, that he bridges, that God bridges across all those divides, that that separation that happened with the Tower of Babel gets reversed. God's in the reversing business. So a few years ago, I was in an airport and sitting, waiting, this was in the United States, I can't remember where it was. It was in the United States and I was waiting for a flight and it was still kind of in the COVID zone, so people still had masks on. And this poor, really tired looking lady sat down next to me, just kind of plopped down next to me. And got on her phone and was talking with somebody in a really kind of rapid, sort of exacerbated way. And I recognized it as Brazilian Portuguese. And I looked at her and I smiled and I said, "Um pouco português, but I'd like to try to help you because you seem upset." And she was having an awful time thinking her way through, am I at the right gate? And I'm like, girl, I've been where you are. And of course, you know, we have amazing things now. We both picked up the translation app on our phones and we started kind of working our way through and working our way through the map inside the airport on the website. And we figured it out. The gift of being able to hear somebody and speak with somebody the way that they need to hear is a gift. I say all this to you to remind you that there are folks outside of our doors. There are folks that may be gathered from all over the place. Maybe they're from Philadelphia. Maybe they're from Pamphylia. Maybe they're Medes or Cretans, or maybe they are from Florida. Or Scotland. Or Afghanistan. Or the wrong side of town. Who need to know the goodness of God. You don't have that just to yourself. And to the extent that you open yourself to in prayer, my prayer is that you would be able to take that good news and find whatever miracle it is to speak that. Because who knows? They just might need to hear it from you. Who is speaking your language that you can give thanks for? And who is it that needs to hear from you? And I invite you to all of this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.